Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
When you proclaimed Jesus as Savior and Lord, you activated the power of salvation when you confessed with your mouth that He is Lord and you believed it in your heart that He raised Him from the dead. Remembering Jesus through communion brings breakthrough. Breakthrough power is not found in remembering our sins. Thank goodness for notes. Or our past or our pain. It's found in remembering Jesus. It is about remembering what He did on the cross, remembering His love, His healing, His grace, and His mercy. Whatever you've done and whatever has been done to you, God has outdone it, overcome it, and paid the price for it through the finished work of the cross. The supernatural presence of Jesus in His body and blood is enough to silence the accusing voices that condemn, limit, and defeat us. Jesus is inviting you to come to the table and find healing and rest for your soul in Him. So when we take communion, I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. I want you to come with expectation. For a moment, I want you to forget about everything that's around you, and this is about you. And expect peace and joy to flow like a river over you. Yes. So if you'd all please, well, you know, the communion's still being passed out. Just to let you know, in case you don't, it's two pieces in one. So if you lift it, you have your juice in one, and then you have the bread element in the bottom. So you do have everything when you do get it. So we'll wait just a moment. But I want to ask you a question. Do you remember your first love? Yeah. Yeah? Do you remember your first kiss? Whether it was done in secret or, you know, out in the public? Those were fun moments, right? Yeah. See, even pastor says exciting. But do you remember when you accepted Jesus as your Christ and Savior? Do you remember that? Do you remember the newness, the freshness, the feeling of just excitement of accepting Him and knowing your life was going to change? It's an amazing feeling. And sometimes, you know what, over time and over years, we kind of lose that first love feeling. So today, I'd like you to remember that and to remember that you have His first love. I mean, you were His first love, and He loved you forever. He knew you before you were even a thought, after that first kiss. So just know that moment was an amazing moment, and it is something that can be renewed and refreshed in your mind. So then that way you can go forth in that power and in what it is that God has for you. So now if you'd please stand, we'll take communion. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So if you would please take the bread. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body. All right, so now this is the cup of the new covenant in His blood. Do it in remembrance of me. If you could please take it. So remembering Him activates God's power in your present moment or your situation. Know that every answer is in Him. Every thought is in Him. Know that you are able to overcome anything and everything through Him. So today, let this be a time of restoration, of renewal, and be filled with His Holy Spirit in such a mighty way that you're going to go out and you're going to make a difference. Because everything happens and can happen in one day. Let this be your day to reach others, person by person, moment by moment, and with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. I have a scripture that I want to edify the body of Christ with before we begin. I was actually reading this yesterday, verse of the day. In Zephaniah 3:17, and it says this, and I just think this is really good because it shows, gives testimony to just how good our Lord Jesus Christ really is, and just how much, not only Him, but our Heavenly Father, how much He truly loves us. And how privileged we are that He takes delight in us and personal joy in our relationship with Him. All right. It says, again, in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's such a blessing to worship God every week here. And we should be worshiping Him every day. Should be something that we just fill our day with. First and foremost. And I just want to give God the glory with this scripture because I just thought it was so good. Amen.
There's a scripture I learned a couple years ago. Most of you know, if you're in the Lord for any length of time, the Word of God is alive. It's alive. So that you can read a scripture 5 years ago, it didn't mean anything to you. You open it up today, and wow, did that change my life, eh?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, this first song is called I Can Do All Things. And the reason I can do all things is because of Romans 8:2, which says that this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Separated. No longer dead, now I'm alive. Amen. Amen. Let's listen.
You know, we can always take God at His word. There's never a moment that you have to worry about if He's gonna be there or if He's gonna answer. But so often we're so busy going off on our own way that we don't even give Him the chance to come through on some things for us. And when we see them turn and go a wrong way, human nature is always that, why is it happening to me? What's going on? But God sometimes it's just His way of saying, I'm trying to get you to look at where I'm taking you, not at where you're trying to make yourself go. God wants to give you things. He wants to give you so much more. Life more abundantly. He wants to pour into your life, give you blessings, give you all of the things that He says are yours because we are children of God. But we gotta go after Him for those things. We do. We gotta understand that going after Him and going after His word, it's like, it's exactly what the word says. It's food for us. It's the bread of life. It's exactly what you need in every single moment. It's the sustenance, it's the tools, it's every single thing that you need. And what I love about this song is that it says, I sought the Lord. And He heard and He answered. Because He always hears you and He always answers. But we have to be willing to listen to to what he's saying too. It's why it's important. It's why it's important for us to have those closet moments, those one-on-one times at home, those moments of being independently dependent upon God, is because of the fact that he's trying to feed you specifically for the season that you are in your life. To give you things that he even knows are still coming towards you, so that you're armed, ready, and able to do more than we could ever even ask or think. He has everything you need, but it's the seeking. It's that part that so often we miss. Linda talked about how you remember the first time that you got saved. And for me, I grew up in church. So for me, it's I remember the first time that God spoke to me specifically. And it was like a flood. It was me just reading like I always read. But now it was different because it wasn't just reading. Now it was a relationship. It was a conversation, because I wasn't just reading words in a book anymore. They came alive in my life. And I remember just crying and weeping, and at the same time being so excited. And I was young, so I was like, I can't wait for my dad to get home. I remember asking my mom, when's dad coming home? When's dad gonna be here? Because I wanted to tell him what God talked to me about. And I still remember what it was too. It was about faith. See, that's the thing, is that God's got things to pour into your life like you will not believe. His words are not just words on a page. They're living, they're active, they're ready for you. They're exactly what you need. It's why when you read something at one moment and you read it maybe a year down the line, that's why sometimes you'll get something completely different from it, because God just begins to open up doors and unlock things in your life to place more and more and more and more. And those things that he's placing in your life are giving you the next step and footing for where you're gonna go next. But it's gotta be us who decides, I'm gonna follow it. Regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel, and regardless of what I see, what your word says is what's true, and I'm gonna walk in it. That's where we begin to see the blind see, where we see the burdens just lifted. Because now you're allowing him to do a work in your life that nobody else can do. It's a space that nobody else can fill, because he will give you every single thing you need. If you ever had a moment in your life where you felt like something was missing, where you felt like, I feel like there's something more, I need something more, I want something more, he's ready to give it. He wants to give it. He wants to pour into your life. And as he pours in and as you listen, you'll just begin to see this process happen in your life, where the things that used to be difficult, the things that used to be hard, the things that maybe you used to have problems with, just begin to just go away. Because if you keep your eyes focused on him, there's nothing that you have to do or solve by yourself. It's what he will do in you and for you.
I want to thank the Lord for the worship team, because it's not just songs. It's like another message before the preaching. The songs are truth and life. And I want to thank the Lord because he finally answered a prayer. I don't pray out loud for my husband, but I do touch him, put my hands on him,
and tell the Lord, I'm tired of the crying and the whining, Lord. You got to do something. Break these chains. Break the chains. I'm tired of it. You're not a liar. Your word is truth. Last Sunday, we had a little mustard seed in her hand, and I think Eddie ate it. I said, Eddie, what did you do with that little seed? I ate it. And I said, good. Maybe God's going to heal you. And it's been 2 days, 2 days. The preacher that married us 2 years ago went to, he has a church in Nogales, and Eddie gave him money to bring him some medicine. Well, I don't put my faith in the medicine. I put my faith in the prayer, but God did heal him. 2 days I have not heard no crying or whining, and he's not over there holding his hands or walking like a penguin. I mean, I know the Lord touched him and healed him, but it was the Lord that did it. He may put his faith in a pill, but I don't. I know it was God who did the work. He broke those chains, and I just want to give the Lord a big thank you for answering prayer. So, and I could see the difference in Eddie's playing today. He's not holding his hands or touching his shoulders. But before that, Betty would pray for him. She would put his hands on his shoulder and he would get relief. But he didn't get his healing till 2 days ago. I don't know if you guys can see the difference, but God healed him. Thank you.
Okay, so Ben has a little scripture for you guys, and the scripture is Numbers 6:24.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Singing this song, it brought up something to my mind. A few weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago, I was giving Ben a bath, the little one that was just up here, and he has this like little tube thing. So he was pretending to be an elephant. So he's, you know, making the sounds. And when he lifted up the little tubes, there was some water in it. So it got into his mouth. And he started coughing. And instead of looking at me, you know, usually when something happens, it's mom, mom. Instead of looking at me, what he did was, sorry, I lost my voice, it's coming back. So he put his head down and he quietly said, dear God, please get the yucky water out of my body. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And then as soon as he said that prayer, he coughed. And then he looked at me and he goes, Mom, God healed me. He had that big smile on his face. It was so cute. And I said, yeah, you ask God for healing, he answers you. Well, that song made me think of that because it said, I sought the Lord and he answered. And he did it immediately for her, but it's just so cute for him to see God healed me. And it just made me think of like how many times, you know, when something happens, we try to figure it out ourselves or fix it ourselves, right? Like how many of you are a DIYer? I'm a do-it-yourselfer. Like the toilet's clogged, I don't call a plumber, I roll up my sleeves and grab the plunger, you know, I get it done. But I think a lot of times we wait until we get to the end of our self-sufficiency before we call on God. Whereas it should be the other way around, when we should call on him first. So I just wanted to share that story as a little reminder that we should always be seeking God first.
A few years ago, after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord told me these words. He said, faith is the surfactant of God. Now, most of you are sitting there thinking, what is surfactant? Well, surfactant is what goes into soap. It's the ingredient that helps the dirt wash away from you. We have to have faith before we can trust in God. And that faith washes away that ugly thing called doubt, unbelief, all the things that keep us from trusting in God. Faith that he gives us a measure of faith before we start believing. But as that faith increases, so does everything in our heart, in our mind, in our body increases also. And that faith causes us to speak the words of God out and to believe in him and trust in him without the doubt that the world gives us. So how much do we trust God? It's our faith that does that. Can we trust him for everything that his word says, everything that's written down in that Bible, and everything that he's told you personally in your heart? Have faith. Thank you.
It's a little quiet all of a sudden. Oh, man. Yeah, so thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming. My family's here. Yeah. My grandma. Yeah. Uncle. Cousin. Yeah, so I'm a mother-in-law. So I'm excited. I don't know if they're excited about hearing me, but I'll take a look. I'll give you updates as we go along if they're awake or not. Hopefully everybody can be awake. No pressure. No pressure. So let me just start it off. Let's start off with prayer. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today as we're gathered here, that your word is open to us in a way where we actually understand it and it changes our lives, Lord, that we understand the power and we walk in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'll tell you, this was actually kind of inspired just by somebody reading a scripture, right, to me. Because, it brought up something that was, that I had heard a long time ago. And I'm sure it's a story that a lot of us have heard about Jacob and Esau, right? I mean, there's a lot of us that know that story pretty well. And when we were at the one-day conference, the one that we're up here talking about earlier, the speaker, he just spoke about it, and I was like, I have to look into that again. There's something about that I need to know a little bit more about. And it was talking about birthright, right? Because we know that Esau sold his birthright. Now, in the Old Testament, when it talks about birthright, what it's talking about is that the usually the eldest son would get a double portion of the inheritance, and they'd also be the leader of the family. They'd have this the power to guide their family and what they were just doing day to day, but also in the spiritual matters. So let's get started here. And it's Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. It said, "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished.' That is why he was also called Edom." Okay, because I guess the stew was red and he was called red because he looked red. I mean, I hope it's not the other part because he was hairy too, so I hope the stew wasn't hairy. But Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." Now, first of all, as believers, that's not something we should ask of somebody if we're just giving them stew, okay? So I'm not saying that Jacob was this upstanding guy, and as you can see that throughout his life, there was all these problems that created because of the way he treated people. For the longest time, Jacob was Jacob, right? It said that even when he was coming out of the womb, he was grabbing onto the heel of his brother. And that his name meant something like heel grabber, which ultimately is this idiom that means deceiver. And we saw that. We saw that in his life, right? He deceived his father when he was blessing him, right? And we also see later on all the other things when he tried to marry the woman that he wanted, that he loved, and he had to work 14 years instead of just 7. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. He was scared of his brother. He always fought with him. So let's go on here. It says, "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. So he didn't really have a respect for his birthright. Okay. Also, I mean, who would expect, like, oh yeah, right, he's going to come calling for this later, right? But I mean, he made him swear to it. And back then, like, when you swore to something, you made an oath, you really meant it. You know, do you think Esau was really going to die?
No.
I mean, we saw in there it said he was famished, right? Twice. Right. Once it said he just came in famished, and then he himself said, "I'm famished," right? So he was just tired, hungry. That's all. He wasn't really anything else. So, I mean, it sounds funny, right? I mean, who would do that? Is that real? Could that truly happen? But, you know, it's in the Bible. Yeah. So it's true. Yeah. He did it. Yeah. It happened. But he wasn't the only one. I mean, we have numerous tales where, like, people give up a lot for something just temporary. Right? In Psalm 106, and this is verses 7 through 13, it says this: "When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy, he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold." I believe it's in, like, the King James. NLT's on the screen right now. But it also says counsel. Okay, how many times is it that we see where, like, Israel just went ahead and did their own thing, right? When they're in the wilderness, they thought Moses was dead. So it's like, hey, let's build something, right? Build a golden calf, and they started worshiping it. Okay? There was so many times that they grumbled about their food. It's like, look, it'd be better, like, if you just let us die back in Egypt. It's like, we're going to just starve out here. Or remember the time when we were out there and we had all this meat stored up? It's like, we weren't ever hungry. We always had whatever we wanted to eat. It'd be better to be back in Egypt, right? So instead of their freedom, they'd rather suffer. Instead of their suffering, they'd rather go back, be enslaved, right? And there's no telling how long that suffering was going to be. It probably would have been a lot shorter if they just would have obeyed God. But they were actually saying it would be better to die, okay? Probably exaggerating, just like Esau. Or better to go back into slavery than it would to keep following God. Okay, these are the people that had seen all these miracles, all these plagues put forth to free them, right? They saw an entire army get swallowed up by a sea, which they walked through. And still they forgot what God had done for them. You know, and it happens a lot of times. I mean, like, even just with us, that God would just do so many great things in our lives. But shortly after, we run into, like, becoming uncomfortable or suffering, and we forget about everything God has done for us. And then we just seek out our own solution or just some kind of way to numb the pain that we're going through. Now, you know, we, as Israel went on, they saw, they had some scouts going to the promised land, right? And those scouts in the promised land, they saw that it was this great thing, right? They're like, oh yeah, it's everything God said it would be. It's amazing, except there's these people here, we're gonna die, right? Okay, so even though, like we just talked about, they saw an entire army swallowed up by a sea, which is just crazy, right? They're like, oh no, these are the guys that are going to get us, right? Okay, even though that God said, this is the land that I promised. Okay, it wasn't the, like, well, if you guys survive the battle, you can have it. It was the promised land, right? So it was something where God had said, this is yours. You will have it. But they forgot it. They were faithless. So, you know, when we live by true faith, it's reflected in the ways that we act. Because if we truly believe that God's word is true, if we truly believe that, if it's one of those things where, like, if we do what God says, it's going to happen, or that if we do the opposite, we're going to face those types of consequences. If we truly believe those words, we're going to act in a manner that reflects that. Okay? We're not going to want to go against it because they're like, you know what, God, I want to succeed. I want to prevail. I want to have peace in my life. I want to have joy in my life. Yeah. And the thing is like when you are following after God's will, you can have peace and joy in any circumstance. There are so many people out there in the world that are hurting. And that what they do is they might have some happiness. Okay. That's temporary. Because like it can happen through relationships we have with certain people that we shouldn't. It can happen with addictions. It can happen with a lot of things. Because like once you stop doing that thing that's taking your mind off of your circumstance, you're back to the real world. You're back to feeling the way you did before. You're back to suffering. You're back to pain. You're back to feeling depressed. But when you actually follow God and you know his promises are true, you know you're going to come through it on the other side and everything's going to be fine. And that's where you get your joy. And that's where you get your peace. I mean, how many times did we see that the apostles were in jail, yet they were still praising God, still rejoicing? And it wasn't because they were just like unsure of their situation or they're in some country club kind of jail. It's because they had the Spirit of the Lord. They understood the promise. So now, how many people in here believe in Jesus? Amen. I just need to know so I can, like, you know, we can talk to some people. You know, take note, Pastor. Yeah, we gotta talk to some folks. Now, when we believe in Jesus, we are born again. Yes. Right? We are born into something new. Yeah. We are new creations. Hallelujah. And we also as Jacob received, we receive a birthright. In Ephesians, in this chapter 1, this verses 13 and 14, it says this, And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, those of us that believe. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So, I mean, listen to that. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Yeah. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Yeah. So it's like kind of like we got an advance, it seems like, right? Because, I mean, here we are on earth, and we got some of our inheritance, and then also we're sealed with that, that the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. He was given to us. So that we have a counselor, an advisor, that we have somebody who's going to be with us in those hard times. Okay? It's God that provides our joy. It's God that provides our faith and our peace. You know, we also have God's plan for our lives. Okay? We have his word, which also has his promises. Yeah. And listen to this. This is in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 7. And it said, I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Amen. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's an amazing inheritance.
Yes.
Amazing. You know, it's easy though. It's easy. Like if we just start with like looking at Israel, but like if we look at ourselves, are we always aware of that inheritance that God has for us? Are we always aware of the promises God has for us? And if we aren't, what kind of trouble can that cause in our life? We can become just like Esau, where we have this birthright, this thing that we were promised, this inheritance, and then we're like, no, I want that God. I don't need that anymore. I want you.
Yes.
That you know, the first moment that maybe that those extra bills start rolling in, right? Or maybe, you know, you lose the relationship you've been in a long time. Or you're just lonely. Somebody wrongs you. Or you see wickedness around you, in the world, in the nation, that all of a sudden you forget who you are in Christ.
Right. Come on.
Yep.
And that instead of just like, you know, it was kind of funny how Kay was talking about Ben praying right away. That instead of going to God and say, what do I do here? That we end up being like Israel, where we read it in Psalm 106 or 107, one of those, that they did not wait to hear what God's plan was. They did not wait for his counsel. It's a hard thing to wait. But it's necessary sometimes. A lot of times. Because the thing is like, when we try to fill in that void or we try to solve that problem, what do we start doing? You know, if we lost a relationship or we're lonely and we start going into relationships we don't have any business being in, that we violate the standards and the boundaries that God set for us. You know, maybe we start doing things for money that we shouldn't be. And it could be something as simple as get another job. Because that other job starts taking you away from God. Because all you have time to do is make money, but no time for God. You know, you could see, you know, what's going on in the world, right? You get upset of a politician. Okay, that seems to happen a lot. And what do? You can go on a rant about them, post something on Facebook about how evil they are, or how evil a certain group of people are. Okay? How you know, somebody's corrupting this and that. Instead of praying for that person so that they are changed by God. Because yeah. I'm going to tell you this. You are not more valuable than another person. That's it. Everybody is created in the image of God. Everybody. No matter how much you disagree with them, everybody. You know, I point this out a lot when, you know, I'm preaching, but like, look at Paul. Yeah. Who was called Saul. Yeah. How, like, look at what he did. He persecuted Christians. Yeah. Right? I mean, he was the complete opposite of a Christian.
Right.
Now imagine if we had that same attitude towards Paul. Right? This guy wrote the majority of the New Testament. Yeah. I mean, we don't see that. We don't know what somebody's potential is if they come to Christ. And it's not our job. It's not our job to say how terrible they are, but it's our job to try to change things where God wants us to change things. Because, you know, a lot of times that anger and things that you say, it's like, how much do you think that post on Facebook is going to change the situation that we're in right now? Right? I mean, how much do you think that bumper sticker on the back of your car is going to change things right now? Okay? It's just going to say, I'm an angry person. Right? Okay? Because a lot of times, the more bumper stickers you got, the angrier person you are. The more opinionated you are. Okay? I'm just saying. Unless you got the right ones. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, it's this thing where God wants us to treat people in a certain way, and we should do that. But we won't know that unless we know his word. And the thing is that there is an enemy out there, okay? Yeah. And he's going to want to provoke you into things. Yeah. And it's up to us to be level-headed, to be calm. Yeah. That we're slow to anger, so to speak. But we're going to be quick to listen, right? Yeah. Right?
Amen.
So, let's look at this. It's Hebrews 11, verse 6, and it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Amen. I mean, that should be something we make a note of there, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is faith? We talked about it a little bit earlier, right? Yeah. That if we had the faith, that we would act in a different way. If we truly had faith. Now, you know, it's this thing, like, if we don't have faith, if we don't trust God's word, if we don't trust that his promises are true, we're calling God a liar. Amen. There's no way around it. It's just like we're calling God a liar, right? Yep. And, you know, it's something like I had talked about just a few minutes ago where I was talking about, like, well, you know, there could be things in your life that cause you to give up your what God's promised to you, at least in this life, right? Because the good thing is that God is a forgiving God. Amen. And that's a great thing, right? But, you know, it's pretty easy that you could just be living life, and if you're not aware of God and his plan and his will, that you give up on the things that he has planned for you. Yes. It's easy. It could be just something as simple as being busy. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not even talking, like I was saying before, two jobs busy, but just filling your life with things to do. Right? It's this thing, if we don't have this awareness, we can miss out on what could be like just a important integral step in our faith walk. Like the thing where we're going to like take it to the next level. And it could be just the smallest thing and we don't realize it. That God's promise, his answer to your issue is just right there. But you give up. You know, I'll tell you. Okay. Get real with you. Like, I was feeling worn out and beat down myself. Right? Has anybody been there? Just tired. And just hearing like what we're going to be doing is like, we're getting what? Yeah. And then the one day thing came up and I was like, that's next week. We're going to Phoenix this Saturday and coming back the same day. I don't want to do that. And McKay actually told me, she's like, okay, well, if it's just the girls, I'll go. Right? And then we had some changes. And then I would have to go. And I'm like, okay, I'm going, God. All right. And then the kid got sick. So not only did I have to go, but I had to do everything too. I had to be the guy in charge, right? I'm like, oh, all right, fine. Day of, there was some things that happened too. I was just like, any more, God? What? Please, make this easier for me. And my mom's car battery. It died the day before, so on my way home from work on Friday, I went out and I gave her a jump, and then I was like, okay, we'll see if it's a battery now, so I will charge it, but I'll have to go to pick you up since your car is dead, and then also set up the charger so that I can go. So I woke up early, earlier than I wanted to, right? Because we had to be in Phoenix by 9. And this was like outside of Phoenix, so we had like that extra half an hour, so 2.5 hours up there, 2.5 back, and then it was an 8-hour day. And I was just thinking, I was like, I don't want any more of this. I don't. And then this whole time, it's like past 2 days, I even text the pastor. I was like, hey, I'm not saying it's happening, because I, it's like, but I might be getting what Micaiah has. I don't know. And the thing is, it was like just there that I was like, am I? Am I not? I was like, God, just keep me healthy. Even though it was a thing I didn't want to do, I was like, God, just keep me healthy because I got to do this. So we get up there and then all I can think is like, God, okay, I did my part. I brought everybody here. Please just make something happen. Make it worthwhile. And as you heard Lonnie before, she's working on a club with Abby.
Without me.
Without me. And they're going to be bringing God to their school.
Yes.
Amen. Woo!
Right? Now, with all those things I said, it probably would have been like okay for somebody to say, "Hey, it's okay if you cancel." Like nobody, like if I said I'm canceling, like can't do it. Do you think people have a problem with that? There would probably be some people like, "Oh, that's fine. We understand. It's a lot of going on, right?" Okay. But you know, I'm not saying that it was like some huge ordeal that I went through. But I am saying that it's life that I went through. That happens all the time. Okay. Now, the thing is that there's a lot of times where we can let life win, right? Where we're just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm okay. We're good. We'll just talk about setting up a group. Maybe I can kind of help them. I don't know. Right? But that's not my area of expertise. It's this thing where, you know, we can excuse so many things that we do in our life because we are so busy in our life. Okay? That we could just say no to that, no to that, no to that, no to that. But God's wanting you to say yes. Right? I mean, just showing up in church today, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're listening to the people up here, when you're worshiping, yeah. Like how engaged are you? How involved in it are you? Amen. Okay, because worship, it's not about them playing perfectly. I'm sure they want to, right? It's about offering something to God.
That's it.
Okay. The word worship means to show admiration for.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not about, like I said, sounding great, like me up here talking right now. It's not about me where, like I want, it shouldn't be about me where I'm thinking it's like, well, I hope they think I'm good. I hope they think I'm funny. I hope they think, wow, that's a wise man up there. Because if that's what it's for, it's useless. My heart has to be that I'm sharing a word from God, that I'm sharing God's word in a way that helps people to be inspired to do what it says.
Yes. Amen.
That you're not just going to listen to me and then walk out that door and forget everything.
Right.
Not for my sake and what I wrote and what I put down here and what I'm saying to you, but because the Word of God is life-changing. It is powerful. And it is worthy of our time and our respect to understand it. Because there is a God that wants to share something with us. An inheritance. He wants us to be equipped to do His will. He wants us to live a life of peace and joy. He wants us to live with Him for eternity. And if we are just here trying to check off some boxes, it's not going to do anything. You know, in Ezekiel, it says something like, your people, like, gather, but they're far from me. Their hearts are far from me, right? It's like we can't be those people. We can't just go to church just because, well, that's how I was raised. I mean, we're doing something here. And it's not only just like the preaching and the worship, but it's like before and after, where we talk to one another, where we pray for one another, where we live life with one another. So let me read this to you. It's Deuteronomy chapter 8, and this is verses 1 through 3. And it says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised under an oath to your ancestors. You know, we have promises that are given to us. But all of that isn't just for us, right? It's for God. What we do should be for God.
Amen.
And it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Now pay attention to this part. It says, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, and whether or not you would keep His commands.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Okay, sometimes we need to be humbled. Amen. Just like I was talking before, is like, how do you respond to your circumstance? You know, we can a lot of times respond in anger. We can have unforgiveness. And you know, that comes usually from a place where we just think we're better than other people. Or that because we know the truth, that other people are evil and we're not. So that makes us better. We're not better than anybody. We are here for a purpose. You know, it says that Jesus did not come to be served, but to be a servant. And that's exactly what we should be. And he said, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from. Comes from. Yeah, I should just listen to Aaron or look up on the screen from the mouth of the Lord. Yeah. So we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You know, when we run into those issues that are causing us pain, whatever they are, we have to understand that the answer to that isn't going to be found in our flesh. It isn't going to be found in our mind. It's going to be found through God. Yeah. And you know, God, he may be testing us. He may be humbling us. He's always working on us. But he does this for a purpose, so that we can participate in the kingdom of God. Amen. So that we can receive that inheritance. In Hebrews 10, this is 35 through 39, says this, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And but my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." So let's focus on God and his will, and he'll take care of the rest for us. Amen. We'll live a life of peace, of joy. We'll have all those fruits of the Spirit. Our lives will be amazing. I'm not going to say we're going to be rich money-wise. it would be nice, but not necessary. But it's going to be one where we feel fulfilled in a way that money and things just can't provide.
Amen.
So, you know, I was talking earlier about God's plan. We don't know if we're where we are in that final step. I mean, how close we are to like achieving what God has planned for us, right? That next step that gets us to that goal. And there's also that role that we can play in other people's lives. So let me just say, it is important that you encourage one another, that you help out each other when you can. And Pastor, will you come up here? Yeah. I'm going to Pastor close, but I will say that I was in a different place years ago. And it's because this pastor guy here took me under his wing and encouraged me, showed me love, that I'm here today. So you have no idea what kind of role you play in somebody's life. Even if it's something as simple as taking somebody to Phoenix, you can be a big part of the next step in their walk with God.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. I love this kid. How many say amen? This is like my own boy right here, man. Sorry, Linda, man. But I love this young man. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you guys can come up, Steve, if you guys will, and if we can play a little bit. But I just need you to know that I get what he told you about his day before he go. That is youth pastor stuff. It really is. It is such a blessing to have a young man like Abe and Micaiah. Because I will tell you something. When they called me, I told him, hey, if you need to, go ahead and cancel. Isn't that right, Micaiah? We said, go ahead and cancel if you guys have to. But see, you got a heart here that says, no, you know what? I'm going to take them. You got to do all the work. You got to love on those kids. I'll tell you what, you know, It is seed going into a ground that's going to produce a harvest for you and your wife and your son. You're going to see these things. You're going to experience the glory of God in a youth group that just you've never expected. Is that okay? Because you're faithful to the end. God is for you, mijo. He's not trying to hurt you. He knows all those things. He probably stacked them up on you. Let's see what he'll do. And the angel said, "Hey, I got 10. He's not gonna go. No, no, man. Hey, you know, it's coming, folks. I'm gonna tell you. This young man comes here on Wednesday night. He might have one student, but he's here and he's preaching to them. He's speaking to them. God sees the faithfulness of the heart. That's all he's looking for. Amen. Will you just be faithful to what I've given you to do? And buddy, you got lots coming your way, bro. All right, Mijo. Thank you, Mijo. I mean, give him a hallelujah. I just want to say that. I would say one of the things that caught my ear today in his word was the deposit, how the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit of the inheritance that he has for us. And every day, like today, there was a deposit placed in your heart. You got something today from the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray that that deposit that you received today will find a place, a crevice in your heart that you'll never release it. Can you say amen to that? Would you stand? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Abe, I want to thank you again for that great message, okay? Hallelujah. Woo, come on. Dear Lord, we thank you today for all that you're doing, Father. Sometimes, God, it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's you. But we know that because we trust you, that it is you, that you are doing for us what nothing else can do. God, you are creating in our lives a testimony for your kingdom and for your glory, Father. So, Father, I pray that the deposit that you placed in the hearts today of your people, that deposit would be written by the finger of God, your finger, Father, upon their heart. Yes. That they never, never release that which they heard today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that in our lives. That the deposit that you continue to place in our lives would be like some of our bank accounts. We need a deposit. But Lord, that deposit is so that we can deposit to others. Let that deposit, Father, let it teach and grow people for your kingdom and for your glory. Father, in Jesus' name I pray this morning. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hey, sing this song.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.